Hey, leader, and welcome to episode number 326 of the L3 Leadership Podcast, where we are obsessed with helping you grow to your maximum potential and to maximize the impact of your leadership. My name is Doug Smith, and I am your host, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at Baratung Advisors. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope that you enjoy our content and become a subscriber. Know that you can also watch all of our episodes over on our YouTube channel as well, so make sure you're subscribed there. And if you've been listening to us for a while, thank you so much. And if the podcast has made an impact on your life, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you listen to podcasts through. That really does help us to grow our audience and reach more leaders. So thank you in advance for that. Well, in today's episode, you'll hear my conversation with AJ Vaden, and it was such a pleasure to get to sit down and learn from her. If you don't know AJ, let me just tell you a little bit about her. AJ Vaden is the co-founder and CEO of Brand Builders Group, an international speaker, million-dollar producer, and the co-host of the influential Personal Brand Podcast. As a personal brand strategist, she challenges and inspires people to reinvent themselves as a part of building and monetizing their personal brand. AJ has personally worked with thousands of individuals to help them focus their expertise, expand their reach, build their reputation, and brand the one thing that no one else has, their name. Over the last 10 years, she has been part of founding, launching, and building a very successful 8-figure coaching business, a multi-million dollar consulting business, and a 7-figure speaking business. Along with her company, Brand Builders Group, AJ was featured in a 3-page spread in Success Magazine on the impact of personal branding, as well as recently being named as one of the top 5 personal branding speakers of 2019. Her client roster includes working with top-level executives from organizations such as Bridgestone, Verizon Cellular Sales, Home Franchise Concepts, and DirecTV, as well as working with well-known speakers, best-selling authors, entrepreneurs, and online influencers such as mega podcast host Lewis Howes and original Shark, creator of the infomercial, and serial entrepreneur Kevin Harrington. AJ has taken 25 years of setbacks, successes, tragedies, and overcoming and distilled them into simple yet powerful lessons that will help anyone become better than ever. And in our conversation, you'll hear us talk about all things building and monetizing your personal brand, which I know is of huge interest to a lot of you. And so you're going to love AJ, and I hope that you'll connect with her company afterwards. I think she could help you in a very significant way if you're interested in the subject. But before we dive into the episode, just a few announcements. This episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast is sponsored by Baratung Advisors. The financial advisors at Baratung Advisors help educate and empower clients to make informed financial decisions. You can find out how Baratung Advisors can help you develop a customized financial plan for your financial future by visiting their website at baratungadvisors.com. That's B-E-R-A-T-U-N-G advisors.com. Securities and investment products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, Baratung Advisors, LPL Financial, and L3 Leadership are separate entities. I also want to thank our sponsor, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny, and my wife, Laura, and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers and had a wonderful experience. And not only do they have great jewelry, but they also invest in people. In fact, for every couple that comes into the store engaged, they give them a book to help them prepare for marriage, and we just love that. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out hennyjewelers.com. And with all that being said, here's my conversation with AJ Vaden. Hey, AJ, thank you so much for taking the time to do today's podcast. And you are known for helping others find their uniqueness, make a difference, and become the known go-to expert in their area. And can you just tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you do that?
Yeah, you know, this is actually a really interesting question that's not supposed to be interesting. But one of the things that we have learned about ourselves, so I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders of a company called Brand Builders Group, and publicly facing, like, we're known as a personal brand strategy firm, right? But it's kind of like, what does that really mean? And one of the things that, you know, my husband, who is my business partner, his name is Rory Vaden, have really discovered about ourselves is as much as we are a personal brand strategy firm, we're really a self-discovery company. I mean, that's really what we do is we help people tap into their calling. We help people figure out, like, what is this thing that I feel like I was put on this earth to do? And how do I do it in the pursuit of helping other people? And how do I become known for this? And it's a part of that is figuring out what legacy do you want to leave? And we kind of do it under the pretense of personal branding, right? Because that is a part of it. It's helping you become known for what you want to be known for. But what we weren't so clear on until probably the last 6 months, honestly, is, you know, like what our real calling is helping other people find their calling and finding a way to discover what your purpose is. And, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like, if you've got something within you that you just cannot contain, like it's just coming out of you, like, and it's going to be coming out no matter what in random conversations or in interviews or just in front of your own team. It's like, that's kind of the ideal client for us. It's like, you just feel like you have this like deep calling to make a difference and to do something. And you need organization and structure around, well, how do I do it to be effective and efficient and the most impactful for people? That's really what we do. And then we also can help people figure out, how do I turn this into a business and make money by it and all the things. But personal branding is what we're known for. But the way to get there is really, it's a self-discovery process.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I want to talk to you about all of those things. And let's just start with calling, because I am curious, you know, you help people narrow down their focus. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people, myself included, who want to make a difference, who want to make a difference with their own personal brand. But really, we want to do everything. We want to reach everyone. We want to reach every audience. And we want to be known as an expert in every subject you can imagine. How do you help take someone like me who's ADD like that and really start to narrow down to the questions we should be asking? What does that look like?
Yeah, it really is a process of asking questions. And our job is to be really great at helping ask the right questions. And we act as the bumpers. We're the guardrails that keep you in the lane, right, through this process. And that's a huge part of our job. And it's not an easy job, to be honest. But here's what I would say for most people is that just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. Right. And I think most of us suffer from being good at multiple things. And at the end of the day, there's a distillation process of figuring out, how do you contain all of that through one linear focus? Because that's really what it is. And it may look really disconnected and discombobulated on the surface, but for most people, there's a through line to all the things that you want to do and be known for and be an expert in and all the things that, you know, you want to talk about and the people you want to serve. But most people are looking at it on a very surface level, when if you take everything down with some really strategic questions and a really strategic conversation, there is a natural through line through most people, that there's a theme that has been present through most of their life. And our job is to find it, to see it, to pull it out of you. It's not to tell you what it is. It's for you to reveal what it is through a series of exercises and questions. But one of the things that I always find fascinating about people, all people, not just our clients, it's all people, is that we are most often, you know, the old saying, you're too close to the forest to see the trees. We are too close to our own situations, to our own life experiences, to our own accomplishments, to see the amazingness that you are. And that's a huge part of our job. I cannot tell you how many times I've been sitting with someone, and as they start, you know, they'll introduce themselves as, you know, well, I've got this business, right? That does da 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 da. And then as we start talking, it's like they've also been awarded, you know, nominations by the Pope, or they've, you know, like, I'm like, I'm sorry, come again. Where did you miss that? Or it's like they've fostered 36 children, or these amazing things that they're like, you think that's important? Like, you think that's significant? yes, I do. And even for the seemingly insignificant things that people don't put any clout to, because they diminish their own accomplishments, they devalue their own contributions. And it's unfortunate, but it happens all the time. We all do it. We think it's not a big deal until someone else steps in and goes, I'm so sorry. Let me take that back a notch and repeat back to you what you just told me. Right. And that's a huge part of it. But, you know, for most of us, there is a theme of things that we have overcome in our lives that we cannot just have, you know, firsthand expertise around, but we have real life experience around. We don't talk about it or teach it from a place of academia. We teach it from a place of, I lived this. And that's what we're trying to find in that uniqueness. And it may seem like a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, there is a core theme. There is a core through line. And through the process, we help you find out what it is.
Yeah. And so you mentioned a process, and I'm sure there's someone listening to this right now saying, I need that. I need someone to really help me think this through. You know, what services do you offer to help people do that in case people are interested?
Yeah. So we do, we work with clients in two different ways. We have a, in my opinion, I'm biased, but a really cool membership program where we do live events, and they're live events, but they're really interactive workshops. And so you get to go through this process with other like-minded people. And the workshops are intimate. They're 35 people. And we have a 1-to-5 strategist to client ratio. But you also get paired with a strategist. You get all of our full access course curriculum. There's a whole bunch of awesome stuff, but it's a membership. So it's like you join a community. And more than that, it's really joining a movement of, I want to be someone who is known for making a difference in this world. Even if that is my family or my local community, it's like, I want to make a difference in the lives of people around me. Money is cool. And I want to make it. It's not that I don't want to make it, but I'm about mission over money. And it's finding a like-minded community that's all working together. And then we also do intensives, right? And that's really for the person who's going, that all sounds really good, but I don't have a lot of time. Can't be coming to all these events. And we get that too. So we do intensives. But the process is the same. It's just, are you going to do it through a more extended a relationship engagement? Are we going to do this like crash course intensive, a little bit of like make your brain hurt work for 2 days? But the content itself, the process is the same, no matter which way you go.
Yeah. So someone goes through your process and now they're feeling a little bit better of, okay, now I at least feel like I have somewhat of a better idea of what I am called to do. Then it becomes a question of, okay, but can I actually make a living doing that? Is it always going to be a side hustle? Am I always going to be in a miserable job not doing what I feel called to do? In your experience, can anyone truly take their calling and turn it into a living?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I think, this is where I think personal branding has really, really what a personal brand has really been miscommunicated or misdefined in the marketplace, in my opinion. Now, our definition of a personal brand is the intentional formalization of your reputation. In other words, personal branding and reputation are the same dang thing, right? They are not different. And we all have a reputation. Thus, we all have a personal brand, right? When you leave the room, what did people say? When you leave, how do they introduce you before you come in? What do they think about you when you're not around? How do they associate you? Those things are already happening right now today for every single person who is listening to this podcast. Yeah. You already have a personal brand. You're just not the one building it. And that to me is the connection point of reputation and personal branding. Is personal branding isn't a business model, right? Personal branding is an extension of who you are and what you want to be known for. And I can just, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, it's like for 13 years of my professional life, I was unintentionally by default becoming known for something that I did not want to be known for. And I think what happens is that most of us who become good at anything naturally become associated with that thing that we've been doing, not who we are. And for me, I was a Fortune 100 consultant and a really good one for a long time. I was an amazing salesperson, still am. I will toot my own horn. It's like, I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
But I had become known in the marketplace as someone that companies brought in to help increase the top line and the bottom line. And at the end of the day, you know, looking forward a long time from now, that was not the legacy that I wanted to leave. Wow. I did not want to be known for helping big companies increase their bottom line, but because I wasn't being intentional about my reputation and how I wanted to be seen, these things were naturally happening all around me because I was just good at this thing. I see that happen every single day to my friends, my colleagues, local, you know, entrepreneurs that I, you know, I'm a part of organizations with. And it's because for the most part, people don't know what they want to be known for. That is where I say it's like we're a part self-discovery company. That's what I mean. For most of us, we are living somewhat in this default capacity of we started doing something because we got good at it and then we just kept doing it. Not necessarily because that was the life's calling that was on our heart. And with that said, you know, kind of tying personal branding and reputation together, here's what I would say to you. It's like, you can build an incredible personal brand and never be a speaker, never be an author, never be a podcaster, never write a blog, and never make a social media post. And you can have a life-changing, world-changing personal brand.
So good. Wow. I've never even thought of it from that angle before. That's so powerful. I never thought of it just in the sense of, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for at the end of the day? And that's your brand. That's so good. I was going to ask you, why should anyone care about building their brand intentionally? But clearly that is a reason, but we're on a podcast for leaders. And you guys did a huge study, which I want you to talk about, but a stat that I saw from the study that I loved about why someone should care about their personal brand is you found that 82% of Americans believe that companies are more influential when the executive or founder have a public facing personal brand. And so, is that really true? And why should leaders be paying attention to this whole concept of personal brand?
Yeah, well, the whole reason we did this study, this is called the Trends in Personal Branding. It's the first ever national research study on the state and the impact of personal branding. And, we did this to kind of like put our flag in the ground of going, no, we want to be the first that are talking about this because we believe truly this is a trend. This is not a fad. This is a trend, and that trend is growing and it's not going away. And generationally speaking, with millennials and now Gen Zers, it's growing exponentially faster. And I'll tell you why. It's because there are these things out there called Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and YouTube that make it easier than ever for us to determine who we want to do business with. And there was an expectation even 5 years ago in the marketplace where I would give you my money and you would give me value. That's not the expectation today. The expectation today is you give me value and I will decide if it's good enough for me to give you my money. We are no longer living in a place where we have to pay for information. It's everywhere. Go to Google, go to TikTok, go to YouTube. You can learn how to do about anything. Go listen to a podcast like this. This is free. You're not paying for this information. I'm giving it to you. And if you decide it's valuable enough, then you go, hey, AJ, I want to learn more about what you do at Brand Builders Group. But it's only after I've given you value. And here's the correlation that we've made with that. Brand Builders Group is not here talking to you today. AJ Vaden is here talking to you today on the behalf of Brand Builders Group. Now, you're not going to fall in love with Brand Builders Group. You're going to fall in love with a human or humans inside of Brand Builders Group, right? You're going to stay because of the relationships and the community that you build with people, not some brand, some logo, some set of words on a page. Like, when did we ever think that was actually what was happening? Like, that's never been what it is. And the reason it's more prevalent today is because access has increased and trust is a currency in the marketplace. And with the amount of, not to get, too political, let's just say we're not going to get political at all, but with the amount of issues and, dare I say the word, corruption and situations that we've encountered over the last decade between all different kinds of movements, there is question in the marketplace of, well, who the heck has been behind these companies? And how did we not know that this was going on when we thought this is what it was? And there is an expectation to know today to go, I want to know who's running this. I want to know if I align with their values. And if I do, I am more likely to like them, follow them, trust them, buy from them, promote them, be employed by them, stay with them, etc. But people don't fall in love with companies. People fall in love with people. And that's not new. We just forgot it.
Wow. So, all right, you sold me. Well, I didn't need sold, but okay. Maybe I didn't realize why as a leader of a company, I need a personal brand. Now let's start to get into some of the tactics. Leaders are busy people. In your mm-hmm. opinion, should leaders outsource their brand and just get people to post for them and kind of write for them, et cetera? Or do you think that's something that they should do personally? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. Here's what I would say, and I would say this to any person where time is your most precious asset. You have one job, create content. It's the one thing you cannot outsource. So do I think someone else should be making your videos and putting words in your mouth? No, do not do that. And if you do not ever say you heard that from me. Now, in terms of the tactical pieces of posting it and, you know, like one of the things I would say, it's like, there's a whole bunch of different ways to make this really easy. And including myself, it's like, this is what we do. It's like, my job is, you know, as a thought leader, I have to be the one to produce the thoughts. You cannot create my thoughts. That's my job. But if I make a video or an audio, I can have my team transcribe it and edit it. And from there, they can make pretty graphics. They can make audiograms. They can do all the posting. They can do all the things. What they cannot do, though, is take the thoughts out of my head. That's my job. But it's, you know, I would say it's the hardest and simplest job. It's the hardest because you have to be able to put those thoughts together. You have to be clear in what you want to say. That's what we help you with, right? That's the strategy. But once it's out, once it's on video, once it's in an audio, there are very qualified people who can take it from there. That doesn't have to be your job. You don't have to become an expert in social media platforms or blogging or podcasting to get out there and build your personal brand. What you do have to know is, what do I want to be known for, right? What is my message? Who is it intended for? And how do I want to get it out there? Then from there, it's like, there are people who are very well positioned to do those things to help you, but they cannot create content for you, in my opinion.
Yeah. And when it comes to content creation, you know, where should someone start? If someone's just starting from scratch, they're not on any social media platform. Should they start a podcast? Should they start a blog? Should they write a book? What would your encouragement be to just start?
Yeah. So a little bit of a different thought process I would take. Instead of asking where or what, I would be asking who. I would be asking, who is my audience? Who is this for? Who do I want to serve? Who do I want to help? Who do I want to be known by? And once you have that super dialed in and super clear, then you can ask, where are those people? Because once you know who the who is, it's a lot easier to identify, what podcasts do they listen to? Or do they listen to podcasts? What platforms are they on? Like, do they like listening versus watching versus reading? What do they read? Like, where do they go to read? Like, once you know who, demographically and psychographically speaking, then it's a heck of a lot easier to ask, where should I be and what should I be doing? Most people, however, do it the opposite, and they go, okay, I got to be on all the platforms. And I gotta be, no, you don't. No, you don't. Unless your audience is on all the platforms, and I would most likely say they're not. They're not. They're on a select amount of those platforms, but you just got to know the who. Then you can ask the what and the where.
Okay, so let's assume you do that. What's your opinion on amount of content production? You know, should people aim to post once a day? And then you have, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuks who say, I post 1,000 pieces of content a day on every platform, and that's not enough. Where's the balance on how much we actually produce and put out there?
Well, I would say first and foremost, until you are Gary V and you've got a full production team behind you, don't compare yourself to Gary V. And I think that's a big thing. It's like, one of the biggest things that I've learned through this whole process is, don't compare your step one to someone else's step 1,000. Yeah. It's not an equal comparison. It's not apples to apples. So put blinders on a little bit and go, they got to where they are after doing this for years and years. You may be on day one. So baby steps are just fine. The other thing I have learned is that you do not have to have millions of followers to make millions of dollars. You do not, right? I do not have millions of followers and I'm doing just fine, right? I think that's all good for us to remember. It's like, I think sometimes we look at social media and a little bit of this vanity project. And, you know, one of the things I have to remind myself of all the time is that offline, in the offline world, which that still exists, right? If I knew that I changed the life of one person, would that be enough for me? And it would. Like, if one person came and said, AJ, your message changed my life, would that be enough for me? And it would for most of us. But yet we get on social media, we make a post, and if we only get one like or one share or one comment, we think it's a failure.
Right.
That's still one like.
Yes.
You know? So I would say, in terms of consistency, yes, I do think there's a rhythm to that. And I also think that that is important. And I think those other things are equally as important. Of, you know, as much as it's a tendency for us to talk about social media, we at Brain Builders Group, we talk just as much about the importance of your offline personal brand as your online. And that is really important and somewhat unique in this very digital world, that there is still an offline world to be discussed. Now, online speaking, you know, and I agree with this, right? And it's Gary Vee who says this. He says, content may be king, but consistency is queen. And I agree with that. Now, consistency does not mean every hour on the hour or even every day. It just means, how do you want to communicate to your audience? And what can you give to them to create a set of expectations that you will deliver on? It could be once a week, right? I don't think I would say have it less than that, to be honest, but it doesn't have to be every day. It may just be once a week. In fact, one of our clients and a really good friend of mine, his name is Ian Koniak, was last year named LinkedIn Sales Influencer of the Year. And he posts every Wednesday, not every day. Every Wednesday, but it is like clockwork. It is same time, same day, every week. It's creating that expectation of when I'm going to be here and when you're going to get new content from me. So I think it's just, I think honestly, take a deep, hard look at what can you do and what can you commit to and just do that and let it grow over time. But it does not have to be every day, doesn't have to be on the hour. And I would be quite contrary to many digital marketers out there saying, it does not have to be everywhere. I don't agree with that. I fundamentally disagree with that because I don't think that you can do that very well unless you have a full team behind you.
Yeah, this is so good. We've covered so much ground already. So we talked about, you know, getting clear on your calling and who you're called to and your audience. We talked about why personal brand is so important, both online and offline. And then we just started talking about tactical things people can start to do. So let's say someone's kind of laid that groundwork in their life. You know, you personally have built multiple multi-million dollar businesses and help others do the same. Now someone wants to start moving into, hey, maybe I could do this for a living and monetize my brand. What does that look like? And where would you encourage people to start that process?
Yeah, I would say there's two different ways of monetizing your reputation, right? And the first is just becoming a lead attractor for the existing business that you're in, right? We have an unusual amount of professional services clients in our community. And one of the things that came out in the study that we did, the Trends in Personal Branding National Research Study, was really friggin' interesting. And we asked Americans, what industries do you think that it's most important to have a personal brand? Now, naturally, being kind of in this space, we were like, oh, sure, it's going to be like, you know, info marketing. It's going to be like podcasting speakers, authors, consultants, trainers. Like, it's going to be that vibe. We were not more wrong. We were so wrong. And I'm so glad for it. But here's what was fascinating. It's the number one profession that Americans said that they expected to have an established personal brand was doctors.
Wow.
Number two was lawyers. And number three was employers, their employer. And we were like, what? Like, yeah. This wasn't on our radar. It's like, I don't even know if we had any of those clients at the time. And we were like, why? And then through the rest of the study, we started connecting all the data points. And like, we spent almost 6 months just sitting and studying the data once we got it back. Rather we're slow, or there was a lot of it, I don't know, but we spent a lot of time in this. And here was the aha moment that came to us through a series of collection of data points that finally made sense. And it's basically this: the higher trust is required in your profession, the more established your personal brand must become. And trust and personal branding are synonymous. In fact, personal branding is an accelerator of trust in the marketplace. And then you started thinking, it's like, well, of course that makes sense. It's like, I better friggin' trust my doctor. Like, my life is in their hands. Right. And I better trust my attorney, my lawyer, my freedom is in their hands. And yes, I need to know and trust this employer of mine who's signing my paychecks. My livelihood is in their hands. So there's this trust equation in that whole mix. And so I think that there was a really big correlation of, you don't have to do something different to monetize your reputation, to monetize your personal brand, but becoming known for something, you will naturally become a lead attractor for your existing business. So that's one really important thing, is you become known for something, and at the same time, you start attracting leads for the business that you're already in, or you start getting attention for promotions, or you start getting recruited by other companies because you're known for this thing, right? It's like you're known for something. Now, for those of you who are going, yeah, but maybe I do want to create this side hustle one day full-time business. And here's what I would say to that. It's this exact same process that you would take, even if you weren't doing that, is you have to get clear on what problem you solve, what is the unique way in which you solve it, which is your message, who do you solve it for, and how do you want to make money solving it? And that's a huge, important word. I don't want to skip over that. How do you want, all caps, want to make money solving it? It needs to be something you want to do, you enjoy doing. And then you start creating content, right? And that could be audio content, video content, podcasting. Maybe you just start speaking to your employees. Maybe you just start speaking to your clients. Maybe you start offering free webinars. Maybe you head on down to the local chamber of commerce, who's always looking for a free speaker, and go, I can do that, right? You go to the Rotary Club and, you know, business journals and schools and wherever that will have you. And you say, like I started with, it cannot be contained. You feel compelled to talk about it because you're on a mission. This is your passion. This is your calling. And it's like, I don't care if I get paid for this right now. I feel so compelled to share this that I'll do it for free, knowing that if I keep doing it for free one day, I'm going to make money doing it. Right. And that can happen sooner than later.
Yeah. I want to dive into a few areas that I know you have expertise in, but before I do, you know, this has been so helpful, and I'm sure there's, you know, hundreds and thousands of leaders listening to this saying, hey, I'm kind of interested in what you have to offer. You mentioned the study, which is available for free that listeners can get, and you also offer a free call. Can you talk about both of those and where leaders can connect with that today?
Yeah. So our study is, it's lengthy, so don't let it overwhelm you. It's like 82 pages, but 75% of those pages are graphical to make it easy to digest. You can get through this entire study in a 10-minute sitting. So I would highly recommend to go download the study because it talks about it in four different arenas. One, what is a personal brand? Two, what are the impacts of personal branding versus traditional marketing and advertising and the shifts that are already happening in the marketplace? What are the impacts on a personal brand on your company, which is really significant? And then how do you build an influential personal brand? So those are the four parts of the study. And if you go to freebrandstudy.com/L3, you can grab and download that study for free. We'll shoot it straight to your inbox and it'll come in a beautiful PDF. Second thing is that if you are listening to this going, huh, I want to learn more. Like, I do want to figure out, like, how do I leverage this calling that I do have? And how do I figure out how to like tie that into what I'm doing? So every single person that we work with starts by doing a free call. And I would say free calls also lead to learning about our services. They sure do. I'll be transparent up front. But we almost say it's a prerequisite to do a free call. We do not work with everyone. Why? Because we're not a fit for everyone. We may not be a fit for you. We will still do a free personal brand strategy call with you. And if we're not a fit for you, we will clearly tell you, and we will send you free resources and send you referrals and send you on your way. And we'll stay connected with lots of free stuff. But we do this free call because we want to make sure that you have clarity on what you're after. And if we think we can help, then we may be a good partner for you. But if not, you're still going to have 45 minutes of a free personal brand strategy call with one of our strategists to go through the process of what is my calling and what is my business and what is the problem and what is my message and who is my audience? All these things, we're going to start doing that on that process. And if it's a fit, great. And if it's not, subscribe to our podcast. We'll give you some free stuff and we'll just, you know, be virtual friends and we'll keep on chugging along. But you can go to freebrandcall.com/L3 and request a free call with someone on our team to check it out and see if it's a fit for you.
Well, Jay, thank you for sharing that. And again, we'll include links to all of those things in the show notes and everything that we've discussed. The four things I want to talk about before the lightning round, and again, these can be relatively quick, but I want to talk to you about writing a book. I want to talk to you about speaking, coaching, and podcasting, all things I love. Your husband's written two books. You've helped multiple people become New York Times bestsellers. I'm sure most people listening to this want to write a book. Why should people write a book, and what advice would you have to them in the whole process?
Yeah. Here's what I would say. Why should people write a book? Because you feel like you have to. It's the only reason why you should, really. Writing a book is very hard. It's very expensive, and it's very time consuming. It is not for the faint of heart. It is because you feel like you need to put your words on paper to create a part of this legacy that is really important in your life. If not, write a blog, do a podcast, right? You can do that too. I think that's just the hard, honest truth. Like, one of the things that, I was meeting with a client earlier this week who has written two books and has sold them less than 100 copies of both. Why? Because there was this passion to get it on words. But then I'm like, but who is it helping if they only sit in your garage? And I think there's a part of you've got to be prepared that just because you write it doesn't mean people will read it. That you also have to have a very big marketing engine behind you to get it into the hands of the people that you think it will help. And y'all, that's a business plan. Let's don't be confused. So why should you write a book? Because you feel like you've got a message that will change a life. And books do have the power to change a life. They really do. But that's a business plan. That's a business. And that's an engine, right? And let's don't be confused about that. But I do think, like, in general, books increase credibility, right? Just like doing research. They enhance the perceived credibility. And it gives a framework and a pathway to help people learn and be better and do better. So I would say that's why. Now, I would say a couple of things about when, why, how, all the things. Here's what I would say that's really important. More important than anything else, people often start with writing a book. Writing a book is not what you start with. Writing a book is what you end with, right? You do not vet your content by writing a book. You vet your content by speaking about it, right? You vet your content by writing about it, blogging, podcasting, doing interviews, speaking to groups, doing panels. And you don't start by writing it. It's like, how do you know that's what the audience needs? Like, you fine tune it over the course of talking about it for a long time. And I'm not going to tell you 10 years, but enough time to go, that's it. That's what I have to say. That's what people really need to hear. And you don't do that by just starting down, sitting down and writing it for the first time. It's the last thing you do, not the first thing you do. Now, tactically speaking, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And I would say everyone needs to start with the end in mind, which is, why are you writing this book? Are you writing it for notoriety and credibility? Are you writing it for money? Are you writing it because you care that deeply about people getting their hands on it? Are you writing it just to have in writing your own legacy? It's really important that you're super clear on that, because the route and how you write it will be dictated by what's the end result that you're hoping that comes out of this book. Is it to get more speaking engagements? Is it to increase your fees? Is it to get you on national media? All those intentions need to be really clear on the front end, because they will very much influence the entire process of, do I need an agent? Do I need an editor? All right? Do I need a book launch team? Should I go traditional publisher, self-publisher, one of these hybrid routes? Right? All of those are decided by the end result in mind. So that's what I would say about writing a book.
And your organization also helps people with all of those things.
We do.
As well. So just one more reason to take advantage of that free brand call. So again, make sure you check out that link. Let's talk speaking again. I know you and your husband are both rock star speakers, and you've helped others do the same. What advice would you just give to aspiring speakers who want to make that a part of their business plan?
Oh, this is clean, simple, and easy.
Boom.
The more you speak, the more you speak. So go out and speak. Both my husband and I spoke for hundreds and hundreds of organizations before we ever got paid to do it. Hundreds of times. Now, Rory's was on the path to being the world champion of Toastmasters Public Speaking World Championship. and he was speaking to audiences of three people in the back of a Denny's, right? We both, as a part of our first business, were doing free workshops to sell tickets to big motivational sales conferences. I would do 3 to 4 speaking engagements a week for free. I did that for about 4 years. And I say for free because at the end of that, I was selling something, but I wasn't paid to come and speak. I was like, I was begging people to come and let me speak for free. That's what I was doing for a really long time. But it's like, I have found, you know, throughout the course of the years, and a little known fact about me, I started and built and ran a speakers bureau for almost 10 years. And so I haven't just been a speaker, but I've been on the other side of actually building a bureau and booking speakers for speaking engagements. And I would say there's two reasons why people get booked to speak. One, someone saw you speak. Two, someone saw you speak and then referred you to someone else. That's typically how you get booked. So maybe it's to the graduation of your kid's middle school. You just never know who's in the audience. You know, I have a one of our clients, his name is Clay Harbor. He's a former NFL player. And he's been, you know, speaking to some high school graduations and just trying to build up the muscle of speaking. And he was, you know, speaking to this group of people. And I said, just don't forget to ask for referrals. Don't forget to make an ask from stage. Well, guess what? In the audience was a superintendent. And there's a, you know, Illinois Superintendent Association, right? It's a really good example of you just never know who's in the audience. And there's organizations all day, every day, looking for speakers to come and speak for no money, some money, or a lot of money. But the more you speak, the more you speak. It's the best thing you can do to build a speaking business is to just get out there and speak.
It's so good. Yeah, I was interviewing John Deloney over at Ramsey Solutions the other weekend. And yeah, that's how he landed his job at Ramsey. He was speaking to his college that he worked at. And there was someone from an executive at Ramsey. And they're like, I'm going to hire that guy.
Yeah.
So good. I want to talk podcasting. You have a podcast I do listen to. I think you guys do a phenomenal job. I'll just leave it open. And I have a specific question, but should everyone have a podcast? And you know, what advice do you have? And what have you learned through your podcast?
Oh, should everyone have a podcast? No, they shouldn't. I really don't think so. As you know, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
It's a lot of work. This is not some hobby. And most of it is free work, right? It's passion work. It's interest work. Here's what I would say, though. It's having a podcast, being a podcast host, having a podcast is one of the best learning environments I've ever been in.
Yes.
It's so cool. And it's so good. And I love being on a guest too. It's just learn and meeting people, right? It's networking. It's strategic relationship building. It's really great for those things. But again, like many things, like it's a lot of work and it's a passion. Also, it's consistency, right? People expect that you're going to release a podcast at certain frequencies, right? And so I think too, there comes a time of I'm going to learn and dedicate myself to honing skills in a new craft. I don't think everyone is in this state at certain phases of their life that they're ready for that. I also don't think everyone is naturally great at interviewing. That's okay. You've got other skill sets. You need to hone in and figure out like, what do I love doing and only do that? And who's my audience? And, you know, if your audience is not someone who are, you know, podcast listeners, then why do it, right? You're not reaching the people you mean to reach. And you're also trying to do something that naturally is hard. Don't do things that are hard. Do things that are natural and lean into those things. I remember this story I heard a long time ago, right before I had kids. Now I have 2 kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And that I remember this story. I heard it probably from a speaker, probably, because I love listening to speakers, right? But I remember them saying, it's like, as a parent, I've always found it interesting that when my kid brings home their report card and they have 4 A's and a C, I only want to focus on the C. I want to go, all right, Johnny, how do we get your C up to a B? Instead of going, okay, let's talk about this C. Do you enjoy this subject? Right? Do you like learning about this? What don't you like learning about this? And okay, let's talk about these A's. What do you like about them? Are they easy for you? Are they natural for you? Are you interested in these? And how come as parents and as teachers that we don't go, there's a natural inclination at these things that you're naturally good at. I'm going to help channel that into something extraordinary versus try to take your less than average and make it average. Why do that? It's bizarre, but we do it as adults all the friggin' time. So if you're not good at it, friggin' don't do it. Go do what you're good at and do that a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all of your advice on brand building and speaking and writing and podcasting. With the time we have left, I want to just dive in the lightning round, which is not necessarily brand related, but a bunch of fun questions I just love asking. Yes, a lot of fun. And you've been a fun guest. So the first question is just, what is the best advice you've ever received and who gave it to you?
Oh, best advice I've ever received. Probably embrace that. Embrace what makes you weird and different. That is your strength. Right. You know, we have a saying at our house. We say it with our kids almost every day. We say, I weird. and we're really trying to instill that it's okay to be different. In fact, we want you to be different. I weird. So that is your strength. It's not your weakness. It is your strength.
Wow. I might try that tonight. I have three little ones as well, 6, 4 and 1.5.
yeah, so you're right.
Weird. I like that. Yeah. If you could put a quote on a billboard for everyone to read, what would it say?
Your new life will cost you your old one.
Mm. You want to say anything more about that?
Yeah. I went through a really unexpected, I would say somewhat dramatic business exit of our former company. My husband and I were business partners before we fell in love and got married, and we had two other business partners. And May of 2018, there was a pretty dramatic exit, and I'll just leave it at that. You can take that and do what you want with it, but it was very unexpected, and I was employed one day and was no longer there the next. And that's all I'll say about that. But what I found in the days to come, really months to come, is that I was mourning something that I never really wanted when I had it. Hmm. And I couldn't figure out, why do I feel like this loss of identity when I was losing my soul in the process? And it was a really unusual thing to go through, because I was a founding member of the team. I was, you know, an owner, stock, you know, equity holder. And it was just this odd moment of going, I knew that I shouldn't be there, but I kept going on because I was making a ton of money. And there was a lot of pride and ego tied to this, but there was also a lot of responsibility. And, you know, I've recruited at this point probably 50, 60 people to be a part of this company. And I didn't want to leave because it's like, you know, I was living into this Kool-Aid that I'd sold everyone else on. And simultaneously inside, I was going, I just feel like this, I'm losing myself. And then when it was all gone, there was this moment of identity loss of, well, who am I? If I'm not this sales consultant, if I'm not this leader, if I'm not this entrepreneur, like, who the hell am I? And it was a really sobering time in my life of going, and I am mourning something that I did not want when I had it. Why? And through a lot of my own self-discovery and therapy and coaching and everything in between, I just really learned it's like really what I was struggling with was change. I was really struggling with change and not fully embracing the new opportunities that were ahead of me because I was trying to hold on to this old sense of self, this old sense of identity, instead of reinventing and going, I get the chance. I get the fortunate chance of a clean slate with no baggage. What am I going to do with it? And it wasn't until that moment that I really instead, it's like, this all happened for a reason so that I could live into my calling because I wasn't for a really long time. This is only 4 years ago. It's not that long ago, really.
Wow.
And it was, but at the same time, it's like I had to let go of friends. I had to let go of a lot of titles and, you know, had to let go of a lot of pride. I had to let go of a lot in order to embrace this new life, this new identity that was right around the corner. So.
Well, thank God that happened. I mean, I'm not even brand builders, and I can I'm sure that thousands and thousands of people are grateful that you went through that change. So thanks for being willing to do the hard work. And again, your new life will cost you your old life.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Best piece of advice you'd have, you run a business with your husband. I knew it didn't start that way. What for those family business owners, what would you tell them?
You know, I would say it's like my advice probably has changed over the years. But I would say that the best advice that I would give to, you know, spouses who are working together is I would say two things. One is don't let the business interrupt the romance.
Hmm.
And that's easy to do, right? It's easy to let business just kind of lure into the evenings, into weekends. And this took a lot of discipline, still takes a lot of discipline, especially now with two toddlers. But don't let the business interfere with romance. And so we've done everything. We have a very scheduled date night. We at all costs try to stick to our Wednesday night date night. We try to do at least a two night just Rory and I once a quarter, and then a week long just Rory and I vacation every year. And one of the things that we have found is, like, just because we're married doesn't mean we shouldn't be dating, right? And so it's continuing that courting, that dating process of, and he's really great at it, and I try to be really good at it, but it's like he still leaves me love notes and sends me flowers, and don't let the business interfere with the romance. That would be my first, and that's just discipline. That's intentionality. That's what that is. But then I think the second one is really focus on the strengths of your partner, i.e. your spouse, not their weaknesses. You're a team. You're a partnership, which means you naturally have strengths and weaknesses. That's why you make a good team, right? It's like Rory's strengths are not mine and mine are not his. The man was gifted from above with the ability to put content in a digestible manner. He literally thinks in acronyms. It's a God-given skill set. There's no other way to say it. It's like, I just remember this one night we were putting our kids down to bed, and this was just like 6 months ago. And mid story time, which is something that's really important in our family, he pops up. He goes, "Babe, I have to go. I'll be back." And I'm like, "Are you okay?" He goes, "I just have to go." And I was like, "Are you sick? Like, is there an emergency?" I'm like, panic, like sweating, like what? So I finished putting the kids down, and like I run upstairs to go and find him. He's not upstairs. And I'm like, "Where are you?" So finally he emerges out of all places, out of the bathroom. And I'm like, "Are you sick?" He goes, "No, I'm not." I'm like, "What was that?" And he goes, "I just wrote a book." And I said, "I'm so sorry, what?" And it's been 45 minutes. And indeed, he emerges out of his sacred place, the bathroom. He has written an entire children's book.
Wow.
And it's all based on his first book, Take the Stairs. But it is an entire, from beginning to end, fully vetted, fully done kids book in 45 minutes.
That's a gift. Here's what I would
say. It is. But I would rather focus on that, or I can focus on the fact that he never checks his emails. He's always behind on company information. He never knows what the hell is going on. We had our company meeting an in-person company meeting last week, first one in 3.5 years, i.e. since we started the company. And one of our employees saw him and they were like, "Hey, are you going to be at the baseball game?" And he goes, "What baseball game?" And they're like, "Oh, are you not coming on Wednesday night?" And he's texting me, "Am I supposed to be at a baseball game?" I'm like, "Yes, it's the company social event. Yes, you're supposed to be there." So I can focus on that, or I can focus on his gifts, his strengths. And that's a choice. And that's what I would say to people in business. It's a choice, because I can get really irritated and stressed out with the lack of things that he does. Or I can allow him to do what he does best, do what only he can do, and let him run in that space. And he can do the same for me. And it's like, one is a very happy business partnership and marriage, and the other one is very conflict filled. That's a choice. So
that's so good. And I think you'd be very good friends with my wife. It sounds like we have very similar marriages and giftings. So awesome, awesome. A few more quick ones. Let me see what I want to go with here. What is your biggest leadership pet peeve?
Response time.
Ooh.
My personal core value is responsiveness. To me,
what's your standard? Like 24 hours, 24 minutes, 24 seconds. Okay.
Yeah, 24 hours. But it's like, when I think about even like customer service, it's like, if people would just respond to me quicker, the state in which you would greet an unsettled customer is drastically different just based on response time. Right. It's like, if you get back to me in 30 minutes, "Hey, AJ, we're so sorry." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I feel important. I feel valued. Like, I'm not just a number," versus, "Hey, it's taking 7 to 8 days to respond to customer inquiries right now." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? 8 days? And then they don't do it. And you have to follow up, and you have to follow. I'm going through this right now. I ordered a new office chair, and after 4 weeks, I have just said, "Cancel my order." And only until then, I'm like, oh, ma'am, can we have a call? No, you may not. Cancel my order. It's response time, responsiveness. I guess to me, it just makes me feel important, makes me feel valued. And so same with my, you know, my employees, my team. It's like, if I send you something, I need you to acknowledge that you have seen it. And I try really hard to do the same, right? But responsiveness is mine.
Yeah. I'd love to keep going, but with the time we have left, I'll just leave this open-ended. Anything else you want to leave leaders with today?
Anything else I want to leave? Yeah. Yes. One last thing. So here's what I would say kind of sums up my interpretation of personal branding and reputation. And you can take from this what you will, but I have found it to be true, both in business and in life, that people care much more about who you are than what you do. And if we spend a little bit more time focusing on who we are versus what we do, we would all be much happier, more productive human beings at work and at home.
Well, AJ, this did not disappoint. I mean, I listen to your podcast, so I know basically everything you say is gold. So that's what I anticipated. But for the leaders who are listening, if this is your first time listening to AJ, I really encourage you. They have a phenomenal podcast. Make sure you connect. If you want to hear content like this on a consistent basis, check out their podcast and all the great work they're doing. So thank you, AJ, so much for your time. And thanks for investing me and everyone who will listen to this podcast.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, leader, thank you so much for listening to my conversation with AJ. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. You can find ways to connect with her and links to everything that we discussed in the show notes at l3leadership.org/326. And as always, leader, I want to challenge you that if you want to 10x your growth this year, then you need to either launch or join an L3 Leadership Mastermind Group. Mastermind groups have been the greatest source of growth in my life over the last 7 years. If you don't know what they are, they're just simply groups of 6 to 12 leaders that meet together on a consistent basis for at least 1 year in order to help each other grow, hold each other accountable, and to do life together. So if you're interested in learning more, go to l3leadership.org/masterminds. And as always, I like to end every episode with a quote, and I'll quote Dave Ramsey today, who said this. He said, "If you've decided on the principles and values you live by, most of your decisions are already made." Leader, that is so good. I hope you've taken time in your life to decide on the principles and values that you'll live by. If you haven't, make sure you do that. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode with AJ. I hope it gave you some thoughts around personal branding and monetizing your personal brand. And just know that Laura and I love you. We believe in you. And remember, don't quit. Keep leading. The world desperately needs your leadership. We'll talk to you next episode.